Am I Mad to Believe? And tonight I'm talking on Am I Mad to Believe in Dreams? I'm going to pray first of all. Father God, I just ask for your strength tonight, Lord God, just to really help me, Lord, to deliver your word and to strengthen me, Lord God. I feel weary tonight for some reason, and I just ask for your strength. Help us, Lord God, to take on board what is being said, and that you would speak into our hearts tonight. Help us to realize, Lord God, that we have a real future with you in this life, Lord God, and a real future for eternity with you, and just help us to understand that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read Genesis first of all, from where we're coming from. So, Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. It's titled Jacob's Dream. It's well known as Jacob's Ladder. So, Genesis 28, 10 to 17. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You know, before I begin, when I first became a Christian and I read the Bible through and I came to this part of Jacob's Ladder, I really never understood what it was about. And then I got the talk and the subject came through and I thought, well, this will be interesting. At least I'll now find out what it's about. Never mind. Hopefully what I put across. Okay. Anybody that knows me will know that I've always been a bit of a dreamer. And you know, it'd be nothing to me to have, you know, not just a daydreamer, but at night I would maybe have two or three different dreams. And before I became a Christian, I was really interested in dreams and dream interpretations. Tally, I'll tell you, there's a wee bookshop used to be at the bottom of 6A and High Street, and I was forever in that bookshop buying all sorts of weird and wonderful books. But I did get into trying to work out what your dreams were about before I was a Christian, and I'd have all these books, and I'd get up in the morning and I was thinking, okay, I dreamt about a pineapple, and I seen a gate, and I'm going to have a great day, it's going to be full of fruit, and everything's going to be great. That's the kind of crazy stuff I used to do in the mornings. And then there's other people who believe in the tradition of these dream catchers. I've been to a few houses of people we've had to go to, and it always strikes me that they have dream catchers in their hallways or their bedrooms. And these dream catchers are meant to let the good dreams through, which are meant to be sent by spirits or something, and the bad dreams are caught in these dream catchers. This is an Indian tradition, and I think it's a load of nonsense, personally. But people have them, and people think they're going to have a better night's sleep because they've got a dream catcher in the house. Tonight's story is based upon a dream that Jacob has. It's either a dream or a vision, if you want to put it that way, because it can be seen as a vision of what's going to happen. To bring you up to date so far, we've been through Abraham and the story of Abraham. Then we went to his son Isaac, talked about Isaac. Then we've moved to the two brothers who were twins in the room of Rebecca, Esau and Jacob. And we talked about how the struggle in the womb between Esau and Jacob would come to fruition. You would see that Jacob would steal or have sold to him his brother's birthright for a bowl of stew. And then we saw last week, Tally talked about, how the mother, Rebecca, helped Jacob trick the father, Isaac, into believing that he was Esau, who'd went to the field, got some game, made him a stew, was coming to get his birthright, and before he could get there to get his birthright, Jacob had already stolen it. He stole the blessing that would come to the first child. His mother helped him dress up like his brother using animal skins. And Tali talked about the blessings that came from being the firstborn and inheritance that come with that. So that was sort of roughly us summarized where we are. Tonight, we're following on. Now we're skipping a bit out to get to this story. So what has happened is Jacob's robbed Esau of his blessing. Esau isn't happy. And Jacob's father and mother said, look, best for you to go and get yourself a wife. And so he goes up to his uncle's to find for himself a wife. This will put a little bit of space in between Jacob and Esau so that Esau doesn't actually do his brother in. Now, Jacob left, went to Beersheba, set out for Haran, and when he reached there, a certain place, we're told that he stops for the night. And when it says that the sun has gone down, it basically means it's far too dark to go any further. And he's probably tired. And I was giggling to myself because, you know, whenever I go down to sleep, I like to make sure my pillows are nice and puffed up and I've got my lovely pillow, my chosen pillow. This man here, Jacob, has to pick a boulder to lay his head upon. And I didn't see that as being a great night's sleep. He chooses the boulder, he lies down, and... Oh, sorry, excuse my delay in skilling there. And when he lies down, he sees this vision of this dream. And what he sees before in his night vision is a stairway or a ladder that is reaching up to heaven from earth. And upon it the angels of God are ascending and descending. And I looked up what Jacob's ladder actually means in the sort of, you know, the dictionary as such, or the online dictionary. And it talks about that it has been used as a movie title, a book title. It's the name of a flower. And it even has the name of an electrical device. But of course, if you want to bring it down to simplistic form, a ladder is used for climbing. And the ladder that he saw reaching to heaven and descending and ascending was viewed by him as being the place which was the gateway to heaven. This for him, as we read in the last two verses of that reading, was the most important place that he had ever been. And he had literally seen the gateway into heaven. I remember a song when I was growing up, and it was a song prior to my time, I didn't really know it, but it was a song by a group called Led Zeppelin, and it was called Stairway to Heaven. And the lyrics of the song talk about a woman who has accumulated a lot of wealth, a lot of money, and she's finding it the hard way that she cannot buy happiness, or she cannot buy her way into heaven. Nothing that she has done, earned, or been granted to her would be able to get her into heaven. In our passage tonight, we need to understand that we cannot buy our way into heaven. We cannot make ourselves a ladder to climb up into heaven. There's got to be another way for us to get to heaven. In our passage tonight, God reveals to Jacob and reaffirms the covenant that he had made with Abraham, promising Jacob, who would later be called Israel, that his offspring would inherit the promised land that God had already promised to Abraham. There was already a promise given to Abraham, a covenant, and God reaffirms it in Jacob's dream here to him. The promise is that Jacob will one day be a numerous people. You've heard that before, like the sand of the sea, the sand of the shore will not be able to be counted. That his family, or the people from his body, will be spread across the world, from the east, from the west, the north, and the south. And that his family and the families of the earth will be blessed through him. This is the covenant, this is the promise that God made to Abraham, is now being shown again to Jacob. The promise also relates to the reconnection to the promised land. And this, in part, is a future inheritance to Jacob. And then God further reassures Jacob in this passage by telling him that he is going to be with him and that he is going to keep him. The Lord is going to be a shelter, his provider, his protector, and his keeper. And God has declared his word, and he will not relent until it has been established. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. So in this vision that Jacob is having, this dream, he sees something similar to the ladder or to the stairway leading to heaven. And if we look at it in the simplistic form tonight, it is a connection, if you like, between heaven and earth and between God and man. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 11, and you need to turn to this, but in Genesis 11, chapter 4, you may or may not know the story of the Tower of Babel. When man once before tried to climb to the heights of heaven, in his own vanity, he thought that he could create a building that would allow him to climb to heaven. And this, by the way, this building was a very impressive structure. And if you think about the towers that exist at the minute across the world, this building was as high as many of them. So if you think about the feat that the architecture and the structural work can do today, back here so many thousands of years ago, they managed it just literally with stone. But the demonstration I'm trying to put across here is that man was trying to reach heaven on his own merit, on his own ability, on his own ability to build a building and say, let us go, let us climb up to heaven. Man cannot come to heaven in any way or any form by their own means or by their own measures, and we cannot force our way into heaven. Jacob's ladder, which I showed, and the Tower of Babel, these two passages of Scripture reflect differing schools of thought over the issue of salvation. One group tries to reach heaven based on their own actions. We looked at the covenant of works over and over in this church in the mornings, on what they can do and what they can offer God and how good they can be without having to do anything else. This is how I'm going to climb to heaven, is one school of thought. And the other is based on the access, based on God's provision, what God has done, what God has provided, and only through his provision can we reach heaven. Jacob, in this vision, in this dream, is learning that there is a place, heaven, and that it is indeed God's throne room. And furthermore, he has learned that it is only accessible by him. Now, I'm going to bring a bit of a reading from the New Testament, and I'm going to try and sort of show you what I think this means, this dream means. In John chapter 1, and I'm going to read this, so you don't have to turn to this. This happens between Jesus meeting Nathanael. It's very interesting when you hear this, and then we'll try and put this back together. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, and this is talking about Jesus, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming down toward him and said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The encounter talks of how Jesus saw Nathanael. Nathanael is amazed by this. He calls him Lord. He trusts in him in that instant. And he knows that he is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Nathanael accepts Jesus instantly as Messiah and Lord. And then Jesus' response to Nathanael's new faith is the promise, and this is the bit that I'm trying to tie through, that he himself will be the ladder by which unites earth and heaven. Reference here directly to Jacob's ladder. God had opened a door for Jacob that brought him and his people into a new relationship with the living God. In Jacob's dream, God reveals his angelic host, showed the throne room of heaven, and showed Jacob that he and his descendants would dwell with the living God. Jesus proclaims to Nathanael that he himself is the fulfillment of the promise to the patriarch Jacob. Jesus is the true ladder and the only staircase to heaven. As Christians, we see the dream of Jacob as highly symbolic, representing the mediator, Jesus Christ, the man who came to earth and became the ladder or the stairway for us to reconnect the relationship with God, which was severed by sin. Romans 5, 1-2 tells us this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The access is the ladder that I'm talking about. There is no other way to enter into heaven but through the trusting and believing in Jesus as your personal Savior. Like the song, A Stairway to Heaven, there is nothing that we can do. There's no ladder that we can build. There's no stair that we can create that can bring us to heaven. Mankind is trying in vain today to reach the outer end of the universe. They are flying bits of metal across the universe trying to find the end of it. They are searching for the beginning of heaven, if you will. They're trying to find what else is out there. Yeah, in fact, I read something during the week that said NASA announces space portals do exist, and that there is some way that they're going to be able to time travel or go to other places. I very much doubt that. J.C. Ryle said this, and it summarizes pretty much the talk at this point. There is only one door, one bridge, one ladder between earth and heaven, the crucified Son of God. What Jacob was given was a dream that God would bring to fruition his promises, which he confirmed to Jacob in the dream, and was to Abraham and both to Isaac. But the path to this fulfillment is still happening to this day. The dream is not yet complete, but it's happening before our eyes today. Israel, our land, our people back in their land, they are a nation growing in strength and prosperity. The vision of the ladder is that one day soon, and I hope, I pray, this is my prayer to God, that I will be in this earth when all Israel opened their eyes to see Jesus their Messiah. And then the full blessing will fall upon them as a nation and upon us as a world. But they have to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and their only way to heaven. So all that said, what about us tonight? We are told not to be afraid to dream. In fact, the Northern Ireland logo that they used, or the saying that they had, was dare to dream. They dared to dream that they could reach it to the final. Everyone was cheering them on. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. Nothing wrong with dreaming big. Many say, have your dreams and follow them. Our dreams often become our ambitions, and our ambitions become our goals. Some of the greatest dreamers of this world, the likes, I heard Jimmy talking tonight about America. I have a dream that one day all men will be free. One of the greatest declarations ever given. And of course, that became a reality for many. But many say, follow your dreams and reach high. But what happens when your dreams come crashing down and your dreams become your nightmares? When your life falls apart, when all that you wish for and wanted to desire disappears and you have nowhere left to turn? What happens when everything you thought was going to happen suddenly dissolves before your eyes? I can't promise that I can answer tonight why your dreams have disappeared or come crashing in. I can't give you definitive answers or insights into the reasons for it. But what I can say is this: there is a place called heaven, where all your dreams will be fulfilled. A place where everything will be made complete, where your joy will have no end, and where pain and misery and suffering will not exist. Heaven is the completeness of our dreams, of the visions that we have, of the joy that we want to endure. The only way for you to have this dream, this insight into heaven, for you to be there, is to believe in Jesus and to place your life into his hands. There is no other way for man to be reconciled with God, to be able to gain access into heaven, without climbing the ladder, which is Jesus. And only in him can we climb, if you want, into heaven. There is no other way. To everyone who dares to dream, I would dare you to dream and to believe that dreams, if you will, can come true. But that the dream that we need to hold on to, that the dream that every believer needs to hold on to, is that one day we will be in heaven, and one day all our dreams will be made complete. And for the person not yet saved, who does not know Christ as a Saviour, that person's only dream can be to know Him and to want to put his trust in Him. I ask every person that does not know Jesus tonight to consider what has been said, that there is no other way into heaven except by putting your trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, and I thank you for the insights that you've given me tonight, Lord God. And help us all to really grasp the meaning that there is only one way into heaven. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, you would help us to put our trust in him always, and to, for every believer, know that one day we will too stand in heaven, that we will stand with Jesus, and we will worship you. I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight to really grasp what has been said, and you've shown us, Lord, you've opened up the meaning of the Jacob's ladder to me tonight, Lord. I just ask that you would help us all to fully see what has been said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.